So thank you for that, and lovely to hear everybody's voice, as well as the seeing our faces as we arrived. And I think there was also Ellie that popped in, and I think we've lost her, so hopefully she will join us at some point. So I just want to say a little bit about practicals in terms of here we are on the retreat. And I suppose with this particular retreat, we don't actually spend that much time traveling and making transitions. So I just would like to encourage you to think of tonight as a way of transitioning into a different space for the weekend. Because although we are on Zoom, through experience over the year, we've realized that actually the retreats, even when they're on Zoom, they are very powerful. And it's a powerful way of practicing. So there is something about honoring that and giving yourself that possibility of entering that space in the most kindest way that you can do that. And with Zoom retreats, it's very much possible for us to, on one hand, tune into the sessions, and some of us might kind of think this is it and put that space really around it, and some of us might not be in that position because they might be sharing a house with others, and there might be other people around as well. So there is something about really creating those conditions in which you can sort of be in the retreat space and also be with the people that are nearby in that environment. And I would encourage you to, if you can, reduce input during the next 3 days. So starting today up to Monday, because we will be focusing on the energy precepts, and Bodhivila will talk a little bit more about the theme. But we in the subtle area, energy is a subtle thing, and for us to be in touch with that, we've got to create those conditions. So if you are in a position to minimize input, then I'd really encourage you to do that, because it will allow for the experience to go deeper. So, but at the same time, because it's a Zoom retreat, we will be using the computer, which can be very destructive at some point. So it's an opportunity to use your discipline if you need any help. With regards to the retreat, we've got an organizer. So Patricia is our organizer, and you're welcome to write to her in the chat if you need anything, or if there is anything you'd like to share. And also use the teaching at West London Buddhist Center address. Email address, and send us a message in between. We'll be checking that. So the discipline is not to get sidetracked into the world of computer and other things when we're communicating with each other on the retreat. And the sessions are being recorded, so there will be in the email that you would have received, there is a link for a website page where we will be putting the talks and recordings and different resources on there. So that's available for you as well. And we will be having groups, and the groups we're planning to do same groups. So we'll have a group in the morning session, so when there is a 10:30 to 12:30 session, in that session we'll have a period for groups, and we'll also have a group twice on Monday. We'll have a reporting group as well. So you'll be spending time hopefully with the same in the same group. So do let us know, please, if you're not able to make the group, or if you're not able to make the groups. It will be helpful for us in terms of planning. So we've got people organized in the different groups, and I think those would probably be the main things. We'll start each day at 8 o'clock till 9 o'clock with a meditation, and that will be quite a quiet space apart from chanting at the start and doing the refuges together and precepts together in call and response. There will be a little bit of lead in, but otherwise that will be quiet. Sort of more, unled session. Then we'll have sort of teaching sessions on in the morning, which will include a group. So that will be 10:30 to 12:30, and in the evening it'll be 7 till 8:30, and in the afternoons we'll have meditation and ritual. So that will be from 4 till 5:30, and we'll finish on Monday at 5:30. But that's a big world away, Monday. So I think those are the main things. And if you need anything or you just want to check anything out, write us a message or write to the email box, and I'll hand over.
Thanks, Paninita. So, I'm just going to do a little bit of an introduction to the theme, and then each day we'll be looking at the individual tantric precepts, one in the morning, one in the evening. And we will also be linking them to the traditional precepts, because, you know, this is a new way of looking at about looking at precepts in terms of energy, which, as some people have highlighted, is quite interesting, isn't it? But I think it's good to put them in the context of, well, normally when we're doing our ethical practice using the precepts, that we're going back to the precepts that come back from that 2,500 years ago that have been practiced throughout the Buddhist world and that are chanted often as ethical guidelines. They are, but they're chanted throughout the Buddhist world, usually in Pali, refuges and precepts, and we do that also. Though on this retreat we actually, rather than doing the traditional refuges and precepts, we're actually going to be just starting each day with the three refuge verses from the Avatamsaka Sutta, and then we're going to be actually doing the tantric precepts rather than the traditional precepts. So, you know, what is a precept? I think one of the things about a precept is it's a kind of guideline. You know, they're often taught as like training principles, and you know, we have these guidelines to help us I suppose live our lives in an ethical way, in a more skillful way. So rather than having rules, we're given these basic principles, spiritual principles, dharmic principles, and then it's up to us to then apply them in every area of our lives. you know. And sometimes that can be challenging, and sometimes we're not really sure what's the best way to do something, but having those guidelines there, those basic principles can really help us. So I think it's really interesting to just take that shift and then think about, well, what are we doing with our energy? How are we using our energy? You know, how are we acting? How are we, you know, consciously? Because I think a lot of often the time we're acting without being aware, and like, and a lot of the spiritual path is about developing more awareness, more insight, so that we're not just acting out of habit, out of our conditioning. And that we're trying to, you know, create conditions for ourselves and others that are beneficial, you know. That's one of the things that is very key in Buddhism, is that actions have consequences, and ethical actions, skillful actions will have beneficial consequences for ourselves and others in the world. And if we're doing unskillful, unethical actions, then that will have harmful effects on others. But we often act without being conscious, and there's a lot that is communicated through our energy. And I think a lot of our communication is not verbal, but you know, speaking in a way is one of the ways that we use our energy. And what we do or what we don't do, any action does involve energy in some form or other. And just in a way, becoming a lot more conscious of our own energy, whether that's our physical, emotional, mental energy, whether it's sort of much more subtle awareness of our energy body flows or blocks in the energy areas in our body where there's more energy. And then I think thinking about energy not just in terms of action, because often I think there's this equation with energy with action, and we are talking about energy with action, but it can be active and it can be receptive. And I think there's a whole thing about pacing ourselves in our lives, how we use our energy. And then there's also stuff about how we conserve our energy, how we concentrate our energy. We do have limited amount of energy. And we can change it, we can transform it. We can make effective, ineffective use of it. So that whole idea of like energy can be dissipated, not focused. Well, we probably don't want to have our energy focused exactly the whole time, but also we don't want it dissipated the whole time. And there's certain times where maybe we want to just be open and receptive. And there's other times where we might want to be much more active in directing our energy. One of the six perfections that's supposed to be a natural way that an enlightened being would be is they would have virya. You know, this energy, sometimes it's talked about energy in pursuit of the good, but like directing your energy towards what's meaningful, towards our spiritual goals and towards yeah, things of value for ourselves and for others. So when we're looking at this particular theme in terms of precepts, I think it is interesting because it's very much seen in terms of, well, what is the impact of our use of energy on ourselves and on others as a sort of relational aspect that's drawn out, particularly in the first few precepts. So I'm just going to read them to you if you're not familiar with them. We will be going back to them during the retreat and exploring them in more depth. But the first one, which is do not obstruct the energy of another person. And that's interesting because that's sort of, you know, in the place of the undertaking not to harm others, to harm living beings, including itself. We've got do not drain the energy of others. Give freely of your own energy, which is about not taking the not given, and generosity. We've got do not misuse energy. We've got using for whatever purpose the energy appropriate for that purpose, not inappropriate energy. And we've got not allowing energy to become turgid, keeping it bright and clear. So when we're meditating, we are very explicitly, very directly working with energy. When we're living our lives, you know, we're expanding, using energy. And a lot of the time we don't really think about what we're doing. And I think it was interesting that Justin was talking about the energy puts into relationships and wanting to sort of think a bit more about where he puts that energy. I think I noticed very much how much time, energy, do I put into certain activities. Are those activities ones that are nurturing, ones that are draining, you know, are they meaningful? You know, if I spend a few hours binge watching something on TV, well, I might enjoy it, but is that the best use of my energy? And then maybe sometimes that just feels like what I need to do that time. You know, there's times when we actually need to be still, not running around, expending our energy. And there's other times when we actually do need to be more active and try and get down to things. And I think we all have different patterns around it, different habits around it, and it's good to be aware of what those are. And probably all of us could do with developing a sort of wider more integrated way where we have a much bigger range of different kinds of energy and different ways that we use energy, or just being more aware of them. Yeah. Because as Pranjanita was saying, energy can be very, very subtle, or it can be quite forceful. You know, it can be very calming, can be healing, can be destructive, can be very creative. You know, there's, you know, it'd be quite depleted. But on one level, being aware of what our energetic levels are, what we're capable of, and not pushing ourselves beyond that is really important as well, particularly if we have a health condition that affects our energy. You know, actually pacing and doing a little bit and giving ourselves the rest and the nurturing that we need in between often means that we can do a lot more than if we just try and go for it and then overdo it. And also, if we have a condition where our energy and our health varies day by day, moment by moment, just becoming much more aware of that can help us in a way align with that energy and how it's the best way to work with that and use that. But I think it's, yes, it is very interesting to think about the energy, how we express our energy, how we use our energy, and whether or not we tend to do that skillfully or unskillfully, and what are the effects on ourselves and others in our actions and in how we use our energy, and how could we in a way make use of that energy in our development, our spiritual development, in our lives. So that's the sort of territory we'll be exploring. And we do need energy to live our lives, and we do need energy to live a spiritual life. You know, if you didn't have energy, then you wouldn't be practicing, really. And if you don't put much energy into your practice, if you don't work with your energy in your practice, you know, it limits how far you're gonna go. So we want a way to become aware of where our energy might be blocked. Maybe see if there's ways of freeing it, where energy might be scattered or divided. Often our energy might be have conflicting things internally, externally, and we don't know where to put our energy. So there's something about directing it more skillfully, integrating our energy, freeing our energy, and also transforming our energy. That is all part of our practice. So, Amoghasiddhi, he's head of the Karma family, so he is about action. And Siddhi is often sort of like special, almost like magical or accomplishments. And his name with this unobstructed success, or is one way he's often described. And I like that word unobstructed, because it's sort of like, what are the things that get in the way of us being all that we could, of realizing our potential? What are the things that get in the way of us growing and developing spiritually? And we all have things that do. So when we've identified them, how can we, in a way, free ourselves from those obstructions? Buddhism is often taught using a lot of language of liberation and freedom. And that's particularly an experience that we might have, that when we see through, you know, a habit of view conditioning, there can be a release of energy that can be freeing. Or we can stop, bring more awareness, bring more choice, stop acting in ways that are, you know, restricting us, inhibiting us, not allowing ourselves to be who we could be. So there's the big mind and there's the small mind, which is much more based in our habits, our patterns, our conditioning, our views, ego, our desires. And sometimes there's a lot of energy bound up in that, and a lot of energy in trying to sort of maintain that. So again, there's that sense of when we can see through, even just a little bit, have a little bit of insight, we can free some energy that can then allow us to be open to something new, something more creative. So I think I'll probably just leave that there. As I said, it's going to be something that we'll be exploring in different ways during the weekend. And I'm sure everybody will have their own take, their own approach, their own things that will be relevant, and it'll be really, yeah, be really lovely to sort of be on that journey with you and learning from you and sharing our experiences along the way. Because there's something about practice, something about being on retreat, especially where we're both on an individual journey and a collective journey, and there is always a kind of connection and sharing of energy in that process. So the energy that we're putting into our own practice, but also the energy that collectively we're creating on this retreat. And it helps to have, I think, clear intentions, and to kind of create a space for our practice, consciously create a space. So we're going to be doing the dedication ceremony, which I think a lot of you will know, which is one way of kind of, in a way, ritually creating a sacred space. So we're on an online retreat, so we're not creating a physical sacred space in a shrine room, but we're all in a particular space, so we can be dedicating the space that we're in, and we can also be dedicating this shared virtual space. And we are connected. It's interesting, all these little boxes, but actually there are connections, and even if you couldn't see the boxes, there is connections between all of us. We are all interconnected, and we're like, in a way, more consciously doing that and putting some energy into creating that space by doing some chanting. And we're going to do the verses in call and response, and there's that sense of you hear the words and you respond. There's sort of the active and receptive qualities in that whole process of doing a ritual in call and response. We'll be doing some meditation, and that will be an opportunity to also explore or be with our energy. And we'll be ending with a mantra, and mantras, they're very physical, very visceral things to do, and they are very much a sense of energy needed to do the mantra, but it also can like release energy or transform my energy. Quite often when I do a mantra, I'm in a completely different mental, emotional, even physical state than I am at the end of it. And it can help us to sort of open up and free some of those block channels when we're doing mantra chanting. So we will be doing quite a lot of mantra chanting on the retreat. So I'm going to pass us back to Pranyanita, because she's going to be leading us in the dedication ceremony.
Thank you. So yeah, we'll all do the dedication ceremony now, and I like how Bodhidila talks about it as creating collectively sacred space. And I think there is another way of also think of the dedication ceremony, and that is in relation to energy, we kind of gathering ourselves in terms of intention here. So it's an opportunity for us to think about, where you're going to place that intention, that focus for the next while, for the weekend. So when we saying the verses in call and response, it's an opportunity for you to sort of honor that creating of the space, and also bring to mind what your intention is for this weekend. Dedication ceremony. We dedicate this retreat to the three jewels.
We dedicate this retreat to the three jewels.
To the Buddha, the ideal of enlightenment to which we aspire.
To the Buddha, the ideal of enlightenment to which we aspire.
To the Dharma, the path of the teaching which we follow.
To the Dharma, the path of the teaching which we follow.
To the Sangha, the spiritual fellowship with one another which we enjoy.
To the Sangha, the spiritual fellowship with one another which we enjoy.
Here may no idle word be spoken.
Here may no idle word be spoken.
Here may no unquiet thought disturb our mind.
Here may no unquiet thought disturb our mind.
To the observance of the five precepts.
to the observance of the five precepts.
We dedicate this retreat.
We dedicate this retreat.
To the practice of meditation.
To the practice of meditation.
We dedicate this retreat.
We dedicate this retreat.
To the development of wisdom.
To the development of wisdom.
We dedicate this retreat.
We dedicate this retreat.
To the attainment of enlightenment.
To the attainment of enlightenment.
We dedicate this retreat.
We dedicate this retreat.
Though in the world outside there is strife.
Though in the world outside there is strife.
Here may there be peace.
Here may there be peace.
Though in the world outside there is hate.
Though in the world outside there is hate.
Here may there be love.
Here may there be love.
Though in the world outside there is grief.
Though in the world outside there is grief.
Here may there be joy.
Here may there be joy.
Not by the chanting of the sacred scriptures.
Not by the chanting of the sacred scriptures.
Not by the sprinkling of holy water.
Not by the sprinkling of holy water.
But by our own efforts towards enlightenment.
But by our own efforts towards enlightenment.
We dedicate this retreat.
We dedicate this retreat.
Around this mandala.
Around this mandala.
This sacred spot.
This sacred spot.
May the lotus petals of purity open.
May the lotus petals of purity open.
Around this mandala.
Around this mandala.
This sacred spot.
This sacred spot.
May the Vajra wall of determination extend.
May the Vajra wall of determination extend.
Around this mandala.
Around this mandala.
This sacred spot.
This sacred spot.
May the flames that transmute samsara into nirvana arise.
May the flames that transmute samsara into nirvana arise.
Here seated.
Here seated.
Here practicing.
Here practicing.
May our mind become Buddha.
May our mind become Buddha.
May our thought become Dharma.
May our thought become Dharma.
May our communication with one another be Sangha.
May our communication with one another be Sangha.
For the happiness of all beings.
For the happiness of all beings.
For the benefit of all beings.
For the benefit of all beings.
With body, speech, and mind.
With body, speech, and mind.
We dedicate this retreat.
We dedicate this retreat. So now we're going to have a period of meditation for about 20 minutes. So if you just want to take a time to get yourself into whatever posture is comfortable for you, whether you're sitting or lying or standing, Maybe you've been sitting just now, you want to do a little bit of shaking, walking about, and then get into your posture. Following a bell to start, three bells to end, and then after that, Pranayanita will start us off with the Imoga Siddhi Mantra. As a sort of a kind of pretty plain, simple one line mantra being repeated again and again. And just see what effect that has on your energy. So settling into your posture, and that sense of inhabiting your body, taking up space in this posture, and not just being in your head, caught up in mental energy of thoughts and thinking, but can you experience your body and its sensations, movements as you breathe, your connection to your seat, to the ground, and noticing what it feels like to be still. Sense of being relaxed. And a balance between the energy you need to maintain your posture. Also allowing those muscles that can to relax, noticing if there's tension that you can release or soften. But anyway, just having that sense of sitting or lying, standing still. So when we're moving around or expending energy, it's kinetic energy, movement. And we're still, as there's more of a sense of gathering the energy. Directing it more inward. In more subtle ways. But just noticing the gentle movements as you breathe. Breathing in, breathing out. So even though we're sitting lying, standing still, there's still some movement. Movement as we breathe. Perhaps adjustments to our posture. And that takes energy. So just noticing. Feels like right now. And perhaps getting an overall sense of your energy right now. How your body feels. Perhaps you're tired, exhausted. Have that much energy at the end of the day. Maybe you're feeling quite energized, quite energetic. Maybe you also have a sense of a little bit of excitement, beginning of something new. Warmth in the body, this form of energy. So just taking in temperature in your body, is it the same throughout the body? Are there areas where there's more warmth and heat? Areas that feel cool or cold? Are you aware of energy flowing in your body? Perhaps a subtle energy body as well. It's the physical body made of flesh and bone. Maybe there are certain areas of the body you're more aware of energy. So just noticing if you feel energy in the palms of your hands. Soles of your feet. Connect with the earth, the planet, the world. It's often our feet that help us feel that connection with the ground, with the earth. Help us move from one place to another. Sort of grounding, but also an exchange of energy with the earth. Maybe energy from the whole body sometimes flows down into the earth. And also, well, they help us carry out so many different activities, but also a way of connecting with others in the world. Noticing where your hands are resting right now. They're resting on your legs, your knees, or your thighs. Resting on each other. Resting on a blanket or a cushion. Does it feel soft, open, receptive? Is there a sense of energy, even a very subtle one, in your hands, your fingers and thumbs? If you've got your hands in the traditional meditation mudra, one hand resting on another, thumbs lightly touching. Do you have a sense of the energy flowing, connection? Tips of the thumbs, the space, the empty space created. Potential space. As we sit here, lie here meditating, we are creating potential space. Things can emerge. Anything can happen. Perhaps just taking a moment to notice what's going on for us, what are we experiencing. So our emotional, mental states, do we have a sense of energy associated with particular emotions? Particular thoughts and moods? What's our underlying state of mind? What kind of energy is there? just another way of seeing if hindrances are present or not present. If they are, what's the energy or lack of energy you notice? Restless in your body, is there anxiety in your mind? That's energy. A lack of energy, exhaustion, sloth, and torpor in your body or your mind right now. Craving something. Fantasizing about something. It's also use of your energy. Are you able just to be with yourself, just sit with yourself? Whatever's going on, however you're feeling, without resisting it, without judging it, blaming it, and yourself. You expend so much energy. Criticizing ourselves and others, resisting, denying, suppressing parts of ourselves rather than just allowing ourselves to be. Doubting yourself, doubting others, doubting your practice. And that takes energy, quite undermining. Is it harder for us to accomplish anything? That's also another way energy is affected. Just being aware. Whatever's there, it is what it is. Energy's there, it can only be changed and transformed. We can't get rid of it, can't destroy it. But we have energy, so how? How is that energy going to be What we're going to do with it. Maybe the energy is calm and tranquil. Maybe there's more of a sense of activity in your energy. Doesn't matter, just noticing how you are right. What kind of energy you're experiencing. How much is available to you? Do you have to do anything with it, or can it just be there? So in a moment, I'm going to ring the bells to end this meditation. Noticing what happens when I say that to your energy. Just allowing yourself a gentle transition. Perhaps you want to stay with your eyes closed in this position. And just start chanting the mantra.
Om Namo Siddhaya Om 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 Om Namo Vasudevaya 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 Om Namo Vasudevaya
So, coming to the end of this introduction, this first part of the retreat, and hopefully, as Pranuj was suggesting, it gives us a gateway and entry into the retreat, a transition from the whatever we've been doing before the retreat to now we're now launched into the retreat, and we'll be doing the retreat for the next few days, even though there may be other activities around you. And if you can, yeah, give yourself space, give yourself time to be with whatever you're experiencing on the retreat. And yeah, absorbing the effects of each session. Even if you're not conscious of it, every time you meditate, every time you do a mantra or a ritual, every time you do some discussion or thinking, it will be having an effect, and there'll be energy released, there'll be stuff to integrate and absorb. So just giving yourself the space to do that. and have a good evening, a quiet evening, ideally. And if you're not, then just notice the effect on your energy if you go off raving or something else. Okay. Anyway, hope to see you tomorrow. We have an 8 o'clock meditation, 10:30 session, 4 o'clock session, 7 o'clock session, so 4 sessions. Hope you can make at least some of those sessions, if you can make all of them. There is a continuity of practice. That's one of the advantages of doing a retreat, where you have things happening during the day, you do more than one meditation during the day, and things build over the next few days. So if you can make all the retreat or most of the retreat, I do encourage you to do that. And hope to see you at 8 o'clock tomorrow, or at least whenever you can come. I know people are in different time zones, so it may be some sessions don't work for them, but hopefully you'll be able to catch up with those online. Thank you, everybody. And thank you, Patricia and Pranilita.